Well, thank you again for being here. All of us together. I want to start that tonight's talks are both going to be related to the chapter in Zen Mind Beginner's Mind called God Giving. And since the talks are about giving, I'd like to dedicate the merit of my talk, our talks tonight, to the life and memory of Joanna Macy, who, as you all know, passed recently, a person whose life was really marked by the gifts that she gave. Dogen says that even the smallest act of giving plants a seed of goodness in this and future lifetimes. Rebecca Solnit, in a recent piece dedicated to Joanna Macy, compared her to a large tree in the forest, which, while it's alive, supports the lives of many creatures, and when it falls, opens light in the canopy of trees for the younger trees to grow toward, and then becomes a so-called nurse log after it's fallen to the forest floor and decays on the ground, providing sustenance for many beings. Certainly, Joanna Macy's life was those things in a lot of different ways. This chapter of Zen Mind Beginner's Mind, called God Giving in the book, like the others, comes from a Dharma talk or Teisho of Suzuki Roshi's, which he gave to the sitting group in Menlo Park way back many decades ago. These talks were not intended to provide information, as it were, or knowledge in the academic sense, but were to convey the nature of the essence of Suzuki Roshi's practice to those people listening and now to us reading these edited talks. Nowadays, unlike those days, we have many resources, many books to read and lectures to listen to, and in a certain very real sense, they are all pointing us toward one thing, which is the actual practice of Zen in our lives, to taking advantage of the opportunity that Zen practice gives us for appreciating our lives as deeply as we can and toward helping us to relieve ourselves and others of the suffering generated by our minds. This talk of Suzuki Roshi's is called God Giving. As we know, Suzuki Roshi did not give these names to the lectures in Zen Mind Beginner's Mind. They were given by the editor Trudy Dixon. Trudy Dixon, a Wellesley graduate, was one of his very early students, and he praised her devotion and her understanding. She practiced the practice that Suzuki Roshi taught. She believed him, and she trusted him, and she trusted his teaching, along with many other people in those days, and many, many other people since then, up to and including us. The work of editing this book was handed off to her as she coped with breast cancer and taking care of her children. She finished the work and died before the book was published when she was 30 years old, leaving her two children and her husband, the painter Mike Dixon. She gave herself to this practice and to this book, and she gives herself and this book to us. So Trudy Dixon named this talk God Giving, and that's a title that makes good sense to me. The talk is about giving or generosity and the source of true giving or true generosity, which comes from our true nature. The quote that she chose to publish just under the title is a paraphrase of Dogen. And this is how Suzuki Roshi puts it. Dogen Zenji said, to give is non-attachment. That is, just not to attach to anything is to give. It does not matter what is given. To give a penny or a piece of a leaf is dana prajna paramita, or the perfection of giving. To give one line or even one word of teaching is dana prajna paramita, the perfection of giving. If given in the spirit of non-attachment, the material offering and the teaching offering have the same value. With the right spirit, all that we do, all that we create, is the perfection of giving. Those are Suzuki Roshi's words. These words of his are a paraphrase from a fascicle of Dogen's Shobogenzo called The Bodhisattva's Four Methods of Guidance, or the four practices that a bodhisattva uses to attract living beings to the practice or to help living beings. Or the translation that I really like, which is the bodhisattva's four embracing actions. When we put our arms around each other and embrace, we become one with the other person. We're gesturing toward, and truly in reality, we're overcoming the separation between us. The four embracing actions that Dogen discusses are giving, kind or loving speech, beneficial action, and identity action or cooperation. These practices are straightforward, non-mysterious, not arcane or difficult to understand, and they are, to my way of understanding it, the very essence of Zen practice. Dogen starts off the first section of the fascicle by saying, giving or offering means not to be greedy. Not to be greedy means not to covet. Or we could say, as Suzuki Roshi says, that giving is non-attachment. To me, this means, as I've heard Norman say, not grasping things and not craving things. When we're not greedy, non-greed uncovers our natural, deep-seated, deeper tendency, deeper desire. It uncovers the desire that's already present in us toward love, in all of us, toward love and generosity. Our culture idolizes, glorifies possessing things, the more the better, by some lights. The Buddhist understanding and our common sense understanding tells us that it's impossible to possess anything. Our experience comes and goes. We can't hold on to it or slow it down. We may own a car or a house. Eventually, we give it all up in the end. We have our bodies. To quote Marilyn Monroe in the song Diamonds Are a Girl's Best Friend, we all lose our shape in the end. We lose this shape, this body, this form. Gratifying our senses brings us pleasure, which comes and goes. If we're caught by the pleasure we get from satisfying our natural sense desires, we may get stuck, as a lot of people do, in an endless cycle of trying to repeat the pleasure again and again, or in looking for more or better, or what we think are better pleasures, which is how people like the often mentioned Jeffrey Epstein go so far astray. We all know that a life really worth living is something that can't be bought. Our teaching is to not hold on to, not hang on to anything. Actually, since it's not possible to hold on to anything, when we try to hold on, when we're caught or stuck on one particular thing or another, that being stuckness is a form of suffering. Dogen says, that to be greedy is not to covet. To covet means to want something that we don't have. So he's basically telling us here to be satisfied with what we do have, this present moment, which is, as Suzuki Roshi says, like every, in this chapter, like every existence in nature, every existence in the human world, every cultural work that we create, it is something, this moment is something which was given or is being given to us, relatively speaking. In other words, our effort is to awaken to the gift of this life, and that when our lives are informed by this awareness, no matter what our contributions may be, we are a blessing for ourselves and for those around us. In the fascicle, Dogen says, even if we rule the four continents, the whole world, in order to offer teachings of the true way, we must simply and unfailingly not be greedy. He's emphasizing our attitude. It is like offering treasures, he says, we are about to discard to those we do not know. We give flowers blooming on the distant mountains to the Buddha and offer treasures accumulated in past lives to living beings. Whether our gifts are dharma or material objects, each gift is truly endowed with the virtue of offering. Even if this gift is not our personal possession, our practice of offering is not hindered. No gift is too small, but our effort should be genuine. It all goes back to our attitude, how we think of ourselves and the world. Our practice in Zen is compassion, and giving and generosity is, as Norman has said, the gateway practice. When we give in all the many different ways that there are to give, we are overcoming our tendency toward the focus on I, me, mine, and we're actualizing, we're crossing the boundary with between self and others, and actualizing our solidarity with and love for others. It's good to notice when we give that we are a conduit for gifts that were given to us to be passed along for the benefit of others. We may notice the stickiness of our characters when we give. For example, when I help someone with medical advice or care, I notice when I feel like I haven't been sufficiently appreciated. On the one hand, overly effusive thanks or praise may make me feel uncomfortable because I know really how little I have been individually responsible for whatever help I've been able to offer. On the other hand, when I don't feel that I've been adequately thanked, I notice it and I don't like it. I find myself complaining sometimes about the recipient. This is perfectly natural to all of us and a human response, and there's not anything wrong with it, but we should try to notice how this kind of response may create a wall between ourselves and the receiver of our gift. To go back to Suzuki Roshi, he says that everything is given to us, and since everything is originally one, we are in actuality giving out everything. We really are just a passageway through which things pass. Suzuki Roshi tells us that according to Christianity, every existence in nature is something which was created for or given to us by God. That is the perfect idea of giving. Toward the end of his talk, Suzuki Roshi says that to do something through and through, this is the Zen way of working and doing our activities in life, to do something through and through, he says, is to resume our true activity of creation, or as Sojin Weitzman's recent book is titled, Seeing One Thing Through. All of our activities are true giving when they're done in this spirit. Giving something, doing something through and through, we devote ourselves wholeheartedly. We try to let go of our ideas of who we are, the sticky ideas of what we may gain for our imagined selves by giving. Practicing in this way, everything we do can be true giving. That really means, by this teaching, everything we do. Our work, having tea with friends, writing a Dharma talk, sitting Zazen, going for a walk, going for a swim. Dogen emphasizes the importance of this attitude, this view of life in what we do, that no matter how big or small the gift, if we give with awareness of the non-graspability of experience and the insubstantiality of our small selves, we will be helping. Dogen writes, "The Buddha said, when a person who practices dana comes into an assembly, the people watch that person with admiration. We should know that the mind of such a person quietly reaches others. Even if we offer just one word of Dharma, it will become a seed of goodness in this lifetime and other lives to come." What an act of faith he's talking about. Even if we give something humble, a single penny or a stalk of grass, it will plant a root of goodness in this and other ages. This depends entirely upon the giver's vow and wish, the giver's attitude. To launch a boat or build a bridge is the practice of dana paramita. Earning a livelihood and managing a business are nothing other than giving. Trusting flowers to the wind and trusting birds to the season, letting things go as they go, in other words, may also be the meritorious action of dana, of giving. So, to end, taking up this practice, at this microscopic level, if you will, that Dogen and Suzuki Roshi talk about, challenges us to notice our clinging minds and to try to let go. The other day I had the experience I talked about earlier in which I gave someone some advice and got all hung up about my concern that I hadn't been adequately thanked. On the other hand, when I showed my ID the other day to get into my gym, I felt relaxed and open, and I gave and received a wholehearted greeting from the man checking me in. It picked me up right away and carried me for a while. Suzuki Roshi calls on us to give our true selves to ourselves and to others. These days, that seems more important than ever. Thank you very much for listening. And now we are all going to talk to each other for 15 minutes. We'll break up into groups of three. Each of us will have 4 minutes each, and then a little while longer to talk about things together. No, I would suggest that we try to talk about how the practice of giving and generosity in our lives. Do you think it has the power that Suzuki Roshi and Dogen talk about, this very basic power to turn other people's minds to really affect the world in a positive way? just our attitude toward our lives, this non-grasping attitude. And how do we try to practice that in our daily life? However that lands for you, please feel free to talk about this topic in any way that feels right. And Jeff will go ahead and break us up. Leaving,